Full transparency, I probably did something against my best judgment, but honestly, I was doing it for research purposes. I wanted to talk about the 764 organization or extremist group, whatever you want to call it. It's kind of like an online network of violent extremists. And we've actually touched on it once or twice before in the past because it was detected a couple years ago for the first time in Connecticut. It's been detected in other parts of the country. But I wanted to have a catchy open. You know, I wanted to do my job effectively before I had this next interview. And so I put into ChatGPT, what is 764 and statistics surrounding it here in Connecticut? And as it's starting to answer my question, immediately red lettering pops up and they're like, this has been flagged as dangerous content. And I'm like, oh, XXXXX, like, get out of here right now. Just get away from that immediately. No, I'm not joining the organization. Yes, I am very grateful that one of my best friends happens to be a law enforcement expert because, Gary, I think the feds are coming. So I need you
to be ready. That's right.
Yeah,
I need you to be ready. Don't answer the door in the next 10 minutes when it knocks.
Okay. Eric, make sure we've locked the door. Gary McNamara is here, our law enforcement expert on the show, and the 764 group. Now, how long have you known of this organization?
For the past couple of years. I mean, there was a really big arrest in 2025, federal arrest of some of the organizers of it. But, you know, it's been growing prior to that arrest. But obviously it's taking more, it's getting more public because these instances are occurring more often.
What are the instances, though, Gary? Because that's what I was kind of going to grab, like a quick little synopsis, and then ChatGPT shut me down. So how would you describe what this organization does and what's the point of it?
Yeah, so that's such the good point, because it's, first of all, we use the term organization, but it's really a loosely knit organization. So if you look at like some examples of predators, you know, gangs or terrorist groups, they're kind of structured and they're very organized. Mm-hmm. And even child exploitation groups, you know, we know that there are people that deal in child sexual abuse material. And so they're kind of organized. This group is, and I know you've talked about it before on the air. It's kind of they describe it as a nihilistic, violent extremist network. And it's so important to understand that because its purpose, it really doesn't have a purpose. Well, its purpose is violence, chaos, and notoriety. And it's just decentralized communities. And that's really an important thing to understand.
But you basically are kind of, it's not like you're pledge allegiance to 764. You're basically like, this is something that exists and I am just kind of a part of the chaos, essentially. But it's not this organized, if you will, kind of entity.
Right. There are some that are. And there are small groups that identify as 764 groups, but they're not connected in any way. There's no financial structure to it. And the goal is really just to terrorize, degrade others without kind of like a clear financial or political aspect to it. It's really, some of it has to do with one-upping everyone else. We've seen that with swatting. So swatting is when somebody fakes a call, usually on an online platform, to get the police or the SWAT team to respond to an incident. And then they share that. And then this group of swatters all say, yeah, that's great. Wait till you see what I can do with it. And this group of 764 individuals, this kind of shift of philosophy is this group is trying to one up each other, and it's really, really bad, because there are some tragic cases of kids killing themselves and mutilating themselves and you know, a variety of other issues, but there's really no clear cut organization as we would think of.
And, you know, to Gary's point, this is something that Connecticut is very on top of. I was reading actually in CT Insider this week that Evan Allard, who has been on the show as well, director of the Connecticut Intelligence Center, is going to be talking about this threat basically posed by 764 groups or the network, if you will. This week alone, one of the stops is going to be at Fairfield University, for example, where he's really looking at police and emergency managers. And again, he's going to be all over the state, New Britain, Avon, just to name a few. But it seems like, Gary, this is something that has become incredibly prevalent, not just here, but across the country. What I think is alarming, though, is a lot of the times my understanding is that this could be somebody in another part of the country or even in another country that ends up terrorizing, if you will, or prompting a swatting incident in a small town in Fairfield County, Connecticut. And I always find that fascinating, not in a good way, but it just is alarming to me how that connection even happens.
Yeah, well, yeah, the predators of today, we know this, are never going to come to your home. They're going to go through your smartphone, your gaming apps, or your social apps, and they can be anywhere in the world. And that is you know, obviously concerning, because if we're not having those discussions, and we've talked about, you know, a lot of the predators and the way in which we can access our kids and our lack as parents of really understanding, you know, the people that are doing this, let's face it, they understand that network and they're a lot more than even law enforcement does. So we're always going to play catch up. But if you're a parent, you're even trying to understand it even more. They're not coming to your front door. Every day, there are individuals out there in this LeNet network that are trying to terrorize and to influence your kids. And they do it through that gaming apps, friendship. They establish these friendships. You know, so it's really important that parents, we've kind of talked about it. We say it's important. But the more you dig into this stuff, Melissa, the more you start to realize is that parents really have to every day understand the threats that are and a lot of it is online. And we really have to do really, it's really important that everybody understands that threat and have those conversations with your.
Okay, so I was able to do another search for that. I'm telling you, if I get into trouble, I'm doing research. Let me make it incredibly clear that this is all for research. I am not part of this network. You know, Gary, I don't get paid enough to do this, especially if I end up getting in trouble.
Well, the thing to remember is that 764, this loosely knit group that we're talking about, they find you. You don't find them, because that's an important distinction. It's not like I can go on and you know, there's some people that join hate groups and they sign up and they say I'm all on. 764 individuals that kind of dive into this world, they look for those people. So they're going to find the vulnerable in the world. You're not going to be able to find something where you're going to sign up.
Oh. Okay, well, that's good to know, I guess.
I don't know whether that helps or not.
No, actually, kind of, a little bit. So even that is a distinction from even when you talk about, like, past terrorist groups or, you know, it's something you join. But that's almost, right. Actually, that was incredibly helpful, Gary, because I think that that's actually really scary and another reason for why parents should be very careful of whatever their kids are doing online. Because, again, even the idea of them connecting with somebody, not even knowing that they are a target. So, you know, we talk about swatting incidents, and that's kind of like generally creating chaos in a school, for example. But what you just described, Gary, is somebody who even is targeting a child, for example, on, I know you had mentioned like gaming platforms and things like that, but that's having them almost join something, and they probably innocently don't even know that they're doing that. Like, that's crazy. Until they're in
But that's what predators do. They look for those individuals that are prime targets. So they'll go on these gaming things and they'll look for people that are vulnerable, maybe having trouble at school, trouble making friends, or whatever the reason is, and they'll start to lock them and they'll match them. And we know this, they'll match them. And then they'll start to kind of engage them and ask them to do things. And that's why this group, when we describe it as a nihilistic, extreme, violent group, they look for you to do things. Hurt yourself and send me a video. Take pictures of yourself and then send them to me, and they'll use it to exploit people. It's something that just kind of happens over time, and it's existing all the time. And again, it's not pulling a fire alarm, our hair is on fire, running around, you know, scared about it, but it's really something to empower us to recognize it so that you can start to have the conversation.
It's sick, though. So as I was doing my research about it, the name 764, which was one of the basic questions I actually had, because that's how I work, because I got to start at the basics. I got to understand, how do we get to where we are today? First of all, this group has only been around since 2021. And I say that not like, oh, man, but I think, wow, this is actually relatively new, which is not great. But the name derives from a zip code out of Texas, which is where the teenager who founded it was living at the time. This was during the pandemic. He created this group. He's actually right now, he's been sentenced to 80 years in prison for being convicted of creating this and the chaos that he created online. And just, again, it looks like they, according to our state, the group primarily targets girls who are 10 to 17 years old, although there have been male victims targeted in the past. And it says members of the group will mirror the victim's trauma. So sex abuse, eating disorder, substance abuse, things like that. And they pretend to be, you know, this person as a form of social engineering to make the victim feel like they have a sense of community. So they first implant by being like, oh, you have an eating disorder? Me too. Let's share our trauma kind of thing. And then they expose them, which is just another level of just sick and twisted nature. So it's awful. What I mean, again, you know, maybe you have more context onto that, Gary, but that's horrific. And by the way, we're talking to Gary McNamara, who's our law enforcement expert on the show. So what do you do about that? I mean, we talk about parents need to get involved, get engaged, have conversations with their kids. But that's, you know, not to say what you're saying is surface, but that's so much easier said than done. How do you begin to have those difficult conversations so that if your kid starts to connect with somebody online who they think, hey, you see me, I'm having an issue with my mental health, I'm having an issue with my eating, I'm having an issue with depression, whatever it may be. How do you get in the middle of that? How do you make sure you intercept that?
Right. So the first thing is we always focus on the technology, you know, like, and understanding, and that is important to do. We have to understand what is happening and what the threats are. So that's really important. But what it really, I think, comes down to is starting to really understand our kids and have the discussion about technology, but have the discussion about how they're feeling, what they're vulnerable about, and what connectivity you can have so that the predators don't find those people that are looking for someone to connect with, and they find them and they take advantage of them. That's really the conversations that have to be made, because the technology will always update. And Melissa, it's so important, because it's so important to talk about 764. It is. But it doesn't matter the name. Use the name to talk about it, but it doesn't matter, because they could change the name to 123-8910. I'm a group of people, whatever. It's not the names that are important to understand.
It's the actions that they do under this network.
Exactly, because it is a loose network of people that are predators, that want to instill evil, they want to disrupt our community, hurt our kids. So 764 is just a good example of it. But it could change tomorrow, because the threats are real. The threats are out there. And if it was occurring in your neighborhood, you take better action because you understand it and because it's right in front of you. You know, the things that we do every day that we look at, we can identify safety issues because we're looking at them every day. The problem with online is you're not looking at it every single day. So it's happening, and we're not even realizing that it's happening. And it's subtle in some regards. It could be subtle. It could be a gaming thing. I met a friend online. You have no idea that friend online is not a friend, to your point. I have an eating disorder. You have an eating disorder. You're not my friend. I think you are, but you're not. And ultimately, you're taking me down a path towards violence.
Well, and the other thing too, Gary, is, and again, to your point, it doesn't have to be this group. It could be anything. But we have to also address the other side of it too, which is that we don't know who our kids are online. And what I mean by that is, I think it's also important to not be naive to the idea of, you know, and again, I'm not saying that that you ever expect your kid to get involved with people like that. But I mean, how many times just when they're at school, you find out that there's, you know, there's somebody who's mean at school. Say there's a bully at school, and you find out, you're like, oh, does this kid bother you? Because I've heard about it from these three moms, and they're like, no, they don't bother me. But you find out that your kid is rolling with the bully. Maybe they're not the ones throwing the punches, but they're also part of the bully's clan, if you will. And so I feel like that's also the important part, too, is we always think from the victim standpoint, which we should, absolutely. But I think it's also worth letting kids know, because I hate to say it, but it's like, how does a teenager in Texas during the pandemic go, you know what I want to do today? I want to create a group where we just destroy humans. That doesn't come out of nowhere. And I think we have to also recognize that, yes, there's deranged people in the world, no question. But I think we also have to recognize that I don't know if kids even understand the weight always of their actions. And that to me is partially a failure in the home. Like, if they don't understand what they're engaging in or what they're connecting with people over or the damage they're causing, that's a big problem too. And I think that has to be part of the conversation as well. It can't always just be if you're the one who is being approached by somebody that this could happen to you. That absolutely should happen. But I think the other side has to happen too, because you don't have a network this wide of teenagers out of nowhere.
Sure. And you're right, Melissa. Here's what I'll say about this. The threat is online. The solutions are in person.
Mm.
And that's the key. The threats are coming to our kids from their online activity, but the solutions are not going to be found online. They're going to be found on connecting and continue to connect with our kids. Become aware of the issues. Talk to your kids about it and make sure that you understand whether your kids are vulnerable or not and what you can do every single day, because the threat's online, but the solutions are going to be in person.
Gary McNamara, always appreciate your insight, our law enforcement expert on the show. Thank you so much.